You are listening to a special edition podcast for The Amazing Spider-Man 2. You are listening to the Mighty Wars The Marvel Podcast, a special edition for The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Coming at you straight out of Ben's basement, but not really. Okay, here's the rundown, folks. Ben has foregone his right as our host for the evening, seeing as he did not go and see The Amazing Spider-Man 2 yet, for which he has lost all bitching rights about Ben Reilly. We have to remind him of that on a daily basis.
Well, that sounds like serious business.
Serious business. So, for the evening, I will be your host. I am Fearless, a.k.a. Brian, here for you with special one-night stand.
Oh, no, we're all
going
to die.
And joining me tonight, coming straight out of Hell's Kitchen, though not the one you're thinking about, Taser. Taser, welcome to the podcast.
What? Where am I? When I wake up? Whose clothes are these?
And you probably heard him already, but rejoining us for a special one-night-only show, please welcome back the other guy from New York City, Arnold Alfred. Arnold, welcome back to the podcast.
What up, what up?
One night only? You make him sound like a Vegas act.
My Jennifer Hudson and Dream Girls, leave me alone.
Two snaps!
Does that make Taser Eddie Murphy? Is that what this is?
Does that make Taser Beyonce then?
Oh,
yes.
Shit.
Yes. No, I'm Solange. I beat up people in hell.
Awesome. Oh my gosh.
I'll kick the crap out of you.
This is good. A podcast about a New York superhero being talked about and led by a Bostonian. This is going to be a good show. All right. Yeah. So in case you don't know by clicking on the link and listening to us, this podcast is about The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which dropped, what, about 2 weeks ago, something like that?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
First week of May.
Yeah. So, it came out, and going in, there was a lot of him and Han about some things we've seen on trailers and such, the amount of villains. Peter Parker himself was always a bit of a point of contention with fans. But then we went and saw it, and holy shit, stuff happened. And in case you don't know already, spoiler alert going into any and all of this. So, you have been forewarned. Out here be monsters and dragons and whatnot. So, let's save some of that spoilerific ending towards the end of the podcast, and we'll start with what we liked about the film. Arnold, since you're our man back on the street, why don't you tell us what you liked about the movie first?
Everything was perfect. I love it. No, I'm kidding. Sam wore glasses off.
You gotta make up for it since Ben didn't go see this shit. You know, someone's gotta pick up the slack.
I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I was definitely a lot more on board with this movie than I was with the first Amazing Spider-Man, you know, costume-wise and just, you know, remembering our last outing as Spider-Man and how bad that was, you know. Which is upsetting, because Spider-Man, out of the Marvel heroes, Spider-Man is definitely my favorite. So I really wanted that to be good. And then with the first one, I was pleasantly surprised. It was fun times all around. I really like this one. This one picks up, I want to call it Summer Vacation because Peter graduated he graduated in this movie.
Yeah, they kicked off the movie right. With his high school graduation.
Summer Vacation. That makes sense why I never saw him in school. I was curious about that just moments ago. So summertime for Spidey, free and all over the place. He's still very mopey. Any movie, granted, yes, I know, your parents are dead, your uncle just died. Trust me, nobody understands more than me. both parents have passed away. Like, I get it. I'm sorry, we're doing positives first. Let me not jump on.
Nah, it's fine. No, this is actually just your therapy couch. So you just sit back. How does that make you feel?
It was a little too much mopey. I could have done with less of that. I understand what they were trying to get across, but it felt like, for a while, that's what was carrying the whole film, I think. But him in general was great. His Peter Parker needs some work, but his Spider-Man is pretty much perfect. You know, once he's got that suit on, you know, the quips, everything, the dialogue, the banter, the way he moves, he's got it down. Is Peter Parker
different than when it's just, I'm sorry, it's different when it's just Tobey Maguire and then you actually have something to compare it to and you're like, wow, this is actually better. This is really good.
And like I'd even said about the first one, I'll say it again for the second one. These two movies, again, showed me what I'd been missing from the original trilogy of Spider-Man, and it's the fucking jokes. Like, you know, reading that in comics, Spidey's a character who never shuts up. You know, he's just jumping around and running in his mouth, you know, because he's scared shitless and all that, and that's how he deals and how he copes, but it's still funny. And, you know, they're cheesy and they're corny, and they're supposed to be because he's a fucking cornball. But it's great at the same time. So I'm glad that there's so much more of it. The chemistry between him and Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy, again, still very good. They've kind of breached that whole quirky half-sentences kinds of conversations that they've had. You know, they've been dating a while now. You can feel the chemistry, and not necessarily just because the two actors are dating in real life. You know, it's
got threw me when I found out that they were actually dating in real life, too.
Its own separate feel to it. It doesn't feel like, okay, this is just our relationship when we're not on screen, put on screen, you know, with somebody with different names and everything like that. It felt like a distinct relationship, and they truly loved and cared for each other. And, you know, building up that deal and being a comic book fan, those of us that read comics, so much of the build-up for that, proving even more and more and more that we knew we were going to get the ending with her that we got. But they really drove that home, and they made you feel for Gwen. You got to see a lot more of her. Effects were great. Electro's effects were really cool. I thought that it was great how they did it. Some of it, as some people said, you could tell when it was CGI and stuff, but I'm willing to forgive that. Like, there's only so far you can go with making something like that look absolutely 100% realistic, you know? Especially when we have nothing to compare it to. You know, we've never had a dude floating in the middle of the sky shooting electricity out of his hand. To be like, no, it's supposed to look funny, too,
because I was sitting there kind of watching the whole breakout scene, and I'm like, this is the best effect from Watchmen from, like, 4 years ago. You know? Wow, this looks really familiar. Where have I seen a floating blue guy before?
Totally true.
All you gotta do is, like, Photoshop Django's penis into there, and boom, you've got a hit.
There you go.
Yeah.
More people probably go see it.
Oh!
Living in New York and seeing stuff like that happen to Times Square is just insane. To just be out there and know what it would really feel like to have all of those giant buildings and billboards and crashing lights and everything just coming down. All those people that were watching in Times Square are dead. I don't care what anybody says. They are all of Times Square is dead. If the falling buildings didn't get them, the pieces of shrapnel and glass flying off the buildings got them.
Dead New Yorkers. That makes me.
You know, so.
Hey!
Well, so, present company excluded. Present company excluded. All right,
that's cool.
Nice.
Gotta save myself somehow.
Some of the I'll let somebody else go with good person. I'm sure I'll interject more stuff there because I'm trying to remember.
There's always freewheeling stuff like that. Taser, the other fellow New Yorker, how about you tell us what you dug about Spider-Man, if anything?
I thought that the movie was fine. You know, I enjoyed myself, especially considering I didn't pay a whole lot for it. The movie was nice, clear. It was bright. It was colorful. I thought, what's his name? The British kid playing Peter, because I can't remember his name.
Garfield.
Yeah, that dude. I thought he did a fine job. I like his version of Peter better because I'm not a fan of the wallflower / hero motive. You know, that's classic Spider-Man. That's also classic Superman. That annoys me to no end. You know, like, I have to keep my secret identity, so I act like this. But I come alive as. Fuck you. You know, that's dumb. That's dumb and it's old thinking. So
70 I like years of comic book history disagrees with you, Taser.
Yeah, well, most, you know, it can be like it. That's why I'm glad they went with the ultimate, you know, Spider-Man in this time around, because that Peter wasn't the dork wallflower. You know, he might have been not necessarily most popular kid in school, but he wasn't the geek. You know what I'm saying?
He was
a geek in a good way.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
He's the way geek is considered now, where it was kind of cool and in, and, you know, but you still got pokes on the butt.
You know, he was still the intelligent kid, but, you know, he just wasn't I'm going to go home and eat wheat cakes. Yay! Just like Poindexter. But like I said, I liked him. I thought Emma Stone was fine. You know, Emma Stone, I still look at her and I see MJ.
Yes,
totally. I can't help that. And I will say this, I'm going to miss her because I enjoyed seeing her in this film.
Hey, spoilers.
Anyway, I enjoyed her performance in this film. I thought she did a bang on job, especially in how her decision to leave was actually killing her because she cared for Peter as much as she did.
Yeah.
Props to Sally Field. Sally Field.
Oh, yes.
That bedroom scene where she basically comes out of her heart and talks about how, I don't care what you're looking for. You're my kid. I raised you. I did this. I did that. When this went wrong, I was there. I took care of you. Which almost slapped his parents in the face. But
none of that wise and old sage bullshit, you know?
Yeah, right? But no, but that came from her heart, you know? And I got to admit, that scene and one other really sold the movie for me, you know, because she sold that. And I you know, hey, the Flying Nun, you know, right. The Flying Nun and Smokey and the Bandit, right. Those two movies.
We knew she was a good actress, you know.
And she just really did it. That and the fact that she's not old crone Aunt May. Right. You know, that kind of helps. I mean, she's older, but she's not old. Hey, Peter! Whatever.
Yes, this Aunt May is spry.
Well, indeed. She'll be
I would not be surprised. I think I would be more surprised if it didn't happen. By next movie, I think we're going to pull a Peter, I know that you're Spider-Man for Marvel.
That would tickle me to no end.
Yeah, I've been like wondering.
It feels like it was kind of leaning into that now. Like her noticing all the weird things, but her picking up on some other subtle things too, you know? So I
was watching The Flag.
After like his months of grieving, and he's just finally like beaten down, and she's just like, I wonder where Spider-Man's been.
Right, and she's like, you know, you can't just wallow about, you know, stuff like little hints like that.
I was satisfied with Jamie Foxx's performance. I say satisfied not because I thought he was great, and I wasn't happy with the role that they placed, what, Max Dillon, I think his real name is. Yeah. I wasn't happy with, you know, the Nutty Professor. Right. You know that bothered me. You know, on top of which did they have to do that to him? They couldn't have just kept him. Well, I don't know what he was like in the Ultimate Verse, but I know in 616 he wasn't anything like that.
Yeah,
I don't think he was. Wasn't Ultimate, but I don't think he was like that either.
Right, but somebody just felt the need to raise up his profile because it's Jamie Foxx. He couldn't just be blue-collar worker, got powers, and went, ha, I can do shit. Time to make everyone pay.
Even
you know,
still,
okay.
You could have done other stuff than that scenario.
Right. And make him so desperate that he's on the elevator with Emma Stone, and Emma Stone is like, well, you have a nice birthday. Oh, she remembers me. And elevator clothes. They wanted to, you know, to...
Damn it, why can't you love me?
All right. And what's his name? The kid from Chronicle who played Harry. I thought he did a fine job. You know, I have no complaints with his performance at all. This would lead me into the stuff I don't like. So I can just say...
Well, then, but...
Wait. I liked that scene where a British kid goes to visit him after, you know, dies and... You know, they actually reconnect and they outside and they at the park and they have their reconnect moment. I thought that was well done too. Yeah. You know, and that conversation with him on the staircase and him down by the door and, you know, Peter's kind of like, well, you know, I just wanted to kind of pay my respects because, you know, we were friends and da 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 da. And Harry's like, you know, he's used to acting a certain way and he kind of had to check himself and then realize, you know, this guy isn't trying to get anything out of me. Maybe I'm approaching this wrong. So he opens up and then they, you know, they reconnect. That was a good scene too. That's character wise. Technically, I loved this movie. It was gorgeous. Things moved. Him as Spider-Man was godly. That opening shot with him in the dive and the back of his shirt rippling, like I had said, like, I don't know, maybe two episodes ago, I almost jizzed right there. And just to see him do the twirl and do that thing, what was it, Adrian, where he web shoots onto two ends and pulls himself up.
Oh, the web zip line?
Web slinging in this movie beats web slinging in every other movie. Yeah. It was wonderful watching this Spider-Man move through the city. City.
I said it about the first movie.
You know. Oh man! And
they got right is how he moves.
And I liked how they showed him solve problems. That one part in Times Square with the car and the electricity and, you know, broken web shooter. And even though they kind of Matrix bullet timed it, you know what they're doing. And to see him this, that, and everything gets solved. I almost had to walk out because I would have been screaming. It was
beautiful. It shows that nothing's random. Like, he really thought it through. No movement is random for him.
And that's something that we didn't get in the last trilogy, you know, which is not a slight against it, because, you know, they're not thinking this way. Here, somebody actually went and thought about, let's have Spider-Man solve the problems as fast as he does it. I loved the Spider-Man stuff in this movie. Absolutely loved it. I'm going to say it. This is my favorite Spider-Man movie. The last one was actually my favorite. This is now my favorite Spider-Man movie.
Cool. All right. Very 180 from what we're used to from you, Taser. So it's actually kind of frightening to see you this happy.
I'm bug.
It just lets us know that there's that much higher a bar now to appease you, and we'll probably never reach it. But God save us if that one moment wasn't just so good. Okay, so I guess I'll cap things off with things I liked. You guys covered a lot. I'll just recap a few things. Because Peter Parker, of course, vastly superior to Tobey Maguire's to Spider-Man.
And less crying. I don't care what whoever it was that said it on the boards who said he cried more than Tobey Maguire did. I'm sorry. No. Way less crying from this Peter Parker.
I think he's only cried once, hasn't he?
This one had at least good reason for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, definitely that.
So, yeah, and the Gwen-Peter romance was very well handled. I thought they did a great job with that, as well as the way they sort of linked Harry and Peter together in such a short amount of time. They did what they could with that, and they did it very well for what they had to do. Let's see, what did I love? Okay, and just one thing, really. I don't know if Paul Giamatti knew how big his role was going to be, but God damn it if he didn't eat that shit up. Oh my God. Driving the bus, ranting and raving, and just, I will not take Alexei Titovich, and then he comes back, and he's just the same idiot. It's brilliant. I thought he was very enjoyable as a quick one-off, because I really feared they were going to, like, cut him out and then try to throw him back into the story at some point, which they didn't. You know, they showed him, established him, it's like, okay, that's enough of him for now. And I'm like, wow, that's actually... It's very mature of the studios to not want to squeeze him in there, too, to get all the money they could. But
what I liked about that, sorry to cut you off.
No, by all means, go right ahead.
Like people said about the whole multi-villain thing and how it wouldn't work, and they thought he was going to be fighting all three. One downside to that, which I know Taser will agree, it sucks that one scene that we got with Rhino as Rhino was put in the commercial, and it was the very last scene of the film.
Yeah, that kind of sucked.
And that kind of wasted that scene, sadly. But this is how you can make multiple villains work and also gauge which villains might work as a bigger capacity next time down the road. How many times have we picked up a comic book and you flip open the page and the very first two or three pages is a superhero, Spider-Man in this case, takes down a superhero real quick, two or three pages, and then we move on to the story at large. And then they have to show up towards the end. It happens all the time. Why can't it happen in the movies? They did exactly that with Rhino. You got Alexei in the beginning. He got his ass kicked. He comes back at the end, he's all bigger and better, gets his ass kicked again. Even though we didn't get to see it, you know he got his ass kicked. That's how you put it. That's a good way to put multiple villains in a film and not have to do broad spectrum background stories to everybody. Did you really have that much background as to how the Rhino became the Rhino? No. He was a jackass who was stealing cars. Somewhere down the lines, he got enough money or stole armor just so he can go and steal
Or in money. This case, it was just kind of given to him. And just like, hey, go.
Yeah, somebody showed up, gave it to you, and said, go fuck shit up. You know, it's completely plausible.
And I did enjoy that they tied back in the whole chasing down Alexei with his graduation, him being late for that. And he just kind of runs up. He's like, oh, sorry. And then he macks on his girlfriend on stage. Yes.
Oh, and I have to say, you know, big props to fellow Bostonian Dennis Leary, who had probably the most awesomest cameo in the movie without saying a damn word.
Yeah, absolutely. but on that note, the little hints of world building we got. Harry's assistant, I think her name was Felicia. Then we got a quick glimpse of Mr. Alistair Smythe, as played by B.J. Penn, I believe? B.J. Novak, one of the other?
The guy from...
B.J. Novak.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, the gentleman from The Office and Inglourious Basterds and things like that. And,
right. He was in that. Good point.
Yeah. And, as you mentioned, we got a little cameo from Dennis Leary again. It's kind of like, the fuck you think you're doing? And all this stuff is...
And Adrian Toomes.
Did we get Adrian Toomes, too?
Yes. The guy who looks like a fucking bird.
When did we get him?
He's in there somewhere, because I remember it saying that he was cast, you know, as Toomes. He was the bald dude. I'll find a picture.
Yeah. We'll have to revisit that one.
And Dr. Kafka. He made her a man this time, which pissed me
off. And weird and creepy and German and sketchy.
That's German. Is that the Ravencroft Institute?
Yeah. That was him.
Now, see, I would have killed to get a Michael Morbius reference out of that. I would have loved to see that.
Now, I'm just disappointed because Dr. Kafka was a character that came from, what was it? I think Spectacular? And she was a therapist, and Spider-Man ended up, I think, crashing in or collapsing in her office. And she actually stuck around for a while, and it was interesting to see their interactions while I was, you know, reading the book.
Sure.
And to see them, you know, bring her in and then give her penis and then do what they did, you know, that was a bit of a disappointment. You know, I mean, okay, oh, damn, you know. Yeah. But just insofar as, you know, characters from the comics, Dr. Kafka.
Fair enough. So, yeah, all that little hints of world building and greater characters yet to come and things like that, we'll see how that all plays out. But I was satisfied to see all these people get little nods and winks and stuff. So that was really good.
Find out who that shadow person was, though.
I still think it's Norman.
Really?
I don't know. Yep. You know? I didn't think Norman died. They said his name at one point, but I didn't catch it. I didn't see.
God, what was it? Shit.
Yeah, see, he can't even remember what his name is, you know? He's meant to be clouded in mystery, so to speak. So I guess
Cigarette Man.
Yeah, right?
I still think it's Norman.
Yes. Norman Osborn?
Sure.
Clone!
And like you guys said, the whole just look of the film, not only the way they fight and the way they move and stuff, which is greatly improved, but also the way the movie looks, which is bright and colorful. And they even changed his suit this time around. Which, admittedly, at first, I was adverse to, because I was like, well, it looks kind of silly, but then I see it in action, it's kind of like, okay, you know, that's classic Spider-Man, that works just fine. So I was really content.
I liked this suit more so than I liked anything before it. This suit worked perfectly for me.
Absolutely. Okay, so I guess that'll wrap up what's good about this movie. Let's get to the bad side of things. And Taser, you said you had some stuff that you wanted to lead into with your previous good talk, so I'll let you go first.
Electro's outfit. I'm sorry. I understand that reading yellow doesn't work on screen.
He needs clothes, Taser.
F all y'all. I wanted something better than black on black. I mean, come on. Black on black. That's lazy.
Purple on blue, technically.
No, that was his skin.
<All right. laughs> Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
he ain't black no more. I'll tell you that.
Two snaps. I'm. Well, there's the fact that Gwen Stacy's dead.
Hey,
Stacy.
We'll save that. Come on.
What? It's true.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get fine. Sure.
The Green Goblin.
Just at the ending.
Their version of the Green Goblin. I don't know. I thought it was interesting how they pulled that off, and I don't really hate on it, but it still makes me go, and a mask would be bad. Why? Right. You know, when we had the whole genetic defect thing, which didn't seem to kick in until he went to go visit Dad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, hey, let me go visit Dad because it's on death's door, and all of a sudden, my hands, and oh no, this super pimple on my neck.
Well, it could have happened beforehand, I suppose, but, you know, I get what you're saying. In that respect, there is a lot of convenient timing.
Exactly. Everything accelerated when he went to go visit Dad. And I don't know. I guess, well, hell, I don't think I have anything else that I hated. I think that was really it. It was the Electro thing, which still bothered me, even though I liked how Electro did what he did. Even though you had that one bit where he was by the spires or whatever the hell those things were, mm-hmm. You had the whole techno itsy bitsy spider part. And I love that. I'm sorry. That made me smile and laugh.
That was
but,
good.
But, you know, like, that was cheesy. I know I think Pete didn't like it too much.
I hate this song.
Yeah. But, those are the only two things that really come to mind. Gwen Stacy and Electro Scott.
Yeah, I wish, like you said, I wish they didn't hokey up Max Dillon so much. And people will flip out because apparently if you say one scene looks like another scene from a movie, you mean the whole movie looks like the whole entirety of another movie. So let me clarify that is not the case. But if anybody is like me, that scene of Max Dillon in his house with all his pictures of Spider-Man and everything, if that did not remind you of the scene of Edward Nygma in his apartment with all his pictures of Batman and crazy shit going on, that immediately when I saw that scene, that's the first thing that popped into my head.
From Batman Forever?
From Batman Forever.
I am a winner.
Wow, it's a long time since I saw it.
That's what that scene reminded me of. And, you know, you say that to some people and they flip out and they make you think that you're comparing the whole movie to Batman Forever, which, no, we are not doing it. It is just that one scene that made me feel like that. And was a little bit much, and the whole him talking to himself, like having conversations with himself and making a birthday card. It was just... It got to the point sometimes where it was a little over the top. And it
actually, you know who he reminded me of? Not for nothing, he reminded me of Hector Hammer from the Green Lantern movie.
Yes. I guess like a mix of those two things.
And I didn't like him either.
Right. If I may be so bold, being the only white man on the podcast at the moment, so to speak, it sort of felt like they wanted to take him and do something with him, but they were like, well... Can we make him a crook without being racist? No, let's just make him crazy.
I wouldn't even have cared about that. And, you know, again, not saying I'm of the fan that a villain does not always need a reason to be a villain.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I it doesn't always have to be some long, drawn-out, fleshed-out story. As Chris Rock said back in the day, what the fuck ever happened to crazy?
Yeah. And they got that right here, you know, considering what they were going with. You know, he wasn't just
some guy
who wanted to make money and kill to kill, but he was unhinged.
Right.
And he wasn't too stable to begin with, you know? And I agree with that. But and here we go. Another thing that I just didn't like, and it's something that happens in a lot of Spider-Man movies, but I think in movies in New York in general, and A-Train, you know this to be true. When the cops come out in force and they clear out an area and they've got somebody in the center, we don't stick around.
No.
Especially not in Times Square. We don't stick around and look, ooh, the cops are doing something. You know who those people had to be? The tourists, because Times Square is like 90% tourism anyway. Tourism. So, you know, real New Yorkers would have been gone. Yeah.
But I've seen shit like that go down in Times Square in person. People just stand around when supposedly there's like bomb scares and whatnot. I'm like, y'all stay right where the fuck you are. I'm going about 10 blocks away.
And while, like he said, when he did that big Omni explosion and you saw building facades just coming down, I cheered. because you don't hardly ever see anything like that for Times Square. That's not like, oh my God, all of Manhattan swallowed up. No, this was just localized destruction, and that was, it was really nice to see. But just the fact that these people were sticking around going, oh, hold on, wait, could you move over? I can't see the cops in action.
Yeah, let's get this on our camera phone and see
that's,
how.
That's exactly what people do, though. That's exactly what they do.
And
in the Spider-Man world, I'm dead. That explosion hit my building.
And I work
about 10 blocks from the center of where that thing went down. I'm dead.
Arnold, no.
You guys just mentioned this, the fact that, Rhino was used, when we got to see Rhino, the fact that they used basically all of that footage in the damn trailer, that was an insult. You know, I mean, they could have saved something, you know, or at least if they want to do that, then they should have closed off the scene, not just ended it with like the one hit, one shot kill.
Right. Because it was literally the commercial trailer.
Yeah, I mean,
but to that effect, if they had tried to work them in any more than that, it would have bombed, I think.
I'm not saying they needed to extend it by any great amount, but, I mean, really, the whole fight was in the trailer for the most part, aside from him moving and shooting up a couple of shots of him shooting stuff. You know, we literally saw Spider-Man win before the movie came out.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that is what I, you know, that really bothered me. And while it looks good and, oh, my God, how they had that play out was beautiful, it's still annoying to think that, yeah, I saw the end of the movie, literally saw the end of the movie 2 months before the end of the movie. Yes. So.
Okay. You two kind of double-teamed there on the shit you hated about this movie type thing, so I guess... You guys got your shit down. I'll give you that. Most of your stuff pertained to Times Square, so I don't really know what to do with that. I'm the guy that's dead, basically, is what you guys are telling me. You guys booked it, and I stayed there. I'm like, oh, look.
No, we drag you along. Meanwhile, no, hold on, guys. I want to see.
You want to go this way. Trust me.
No, I'd be hanging with the girl who has her swaddled baby and no carriage hanging around the middle of Times Square. In the middle of, like, fall or winter or something. Yes, I don't know. I guess all that shit, too. And I had a couple more bones to pick. Especially the you guys know what I'm talking about. The Spider-Boy thing, which is pretty much end the flip.
Yeah.
This little boy gets in his head that he's now Spider-Man, and he goes out to a rampaging Alexei Sitsyevich in a giant fucking Rhino death suit with a Spider-Man mask and, like, gloves and shit, and he just kind of stands there.
And actually, that's part of the New Yorker thing.
Almost looks like something from a Make-A-Wish Foundation, like what happened with the Bat Kid, but the kid wasn't dying. He was just incredibly stupid.
Yes.
I mean, Grant
stand up for Spidey.
Yeah, I get that, and it was a bigger moral point. But come on, can you honestly tell me that kid wouldn't have like pissed his pants or something? Give me a puddle on the ground or something to let me know this kid's not entirely psychopathic. I mean,
What I thought was funny was the kid running out into the middle because he's going to stand up and he's going to be Spidey while Spidey's not there. Okay, fine, whatever. But the fact that the mother tried to run out to the kid and two cops had to hold her back but left the kid there.
Right, no cops stopped the kid. That's the same shit I thought. I'm like, the mother's already behind barricades. If you grab the kid and bring her back, she won't come over the barricades anymore.
But, you know, the funny thing is that, see, now, if I had directed that movie, I'd have had him still shooting and just been firing over the kid because he was, like, what, 2'3"?
Yeah, you know? Something like that. Yeah.
I'd have just had him continue to shoot everything else, and he's just
firing. Yeah, but there's a risk of ricochets and things like that. And although I like how Alexei played ball and was like, okay, I'll let the kid get out of the way, then I'll start rampaging again. That'll be
yes, because they didn't want to make him a complete scumbag.
Yeah, he has honor. Yeah, okay, whatever. Also, not for nothing, I understand why they did it, and depending on what Arnold said might be true plays out, we'll maybe see him again. But Chris Cooper was wasted in this film. Just absolutely.
He had a cameo. There you go.
Man is a, No, no. Okay, look. The man is...
He was Bryan Cranston in Godzilla.
Wait, was he a cameo too?
He didn't last long.
Oh, shit.
I kid you not. And okay,
so he's the
not
rhino. Really, he's all the trailer footage. Really?
Well, put it this way. You know who was really the big male hero in that movie? It was Kick-Ass.
Woo-hoo!
Seriously.
Elizabeth Olsen.
No. It was no. Well, she, I'm not going to say anything. I didn't recognize him either because he had shaved the hair and he wasn't wearing the glasses, but I'm sitting there like, I know this guy. Who the hell is this? And my friend, he said, that was Kick-Ass. I was like, oh! But yeah, he was the one that ran around doing most of the stuff throughout the movie.
Well, Okay, we're getting off topic here. Although I enjoyed to no end a preview of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch and their relationship. And that was really nice. Moving right along. Anyway, so yeah, Chris Cooper wasted in the film. The Spider-Boy thing was kind of meh. And one thing that I didn't really, well, not so much I hated, but was more kind of questionable, the whole thing with how Harry kind of snaps at Peter to, like, bring me Spider-Man, even though there's no established working relationship in this film. It's just sort of, like, you
assumed.
Know. Yeah, pretty much.
Very, like, assumed.
He took a picture, so he knows Spider-Man. I get he's desperate and stuff, but that seemed like kind of a leap. Oh!
It just seemed a little rushed to the crazy, which it fell to the shortcomings of, again, while some people treat this movie like God, one of the shortcomings I feel came from The Dark Knight. The jump to madness felt really sped up.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh!
I could understand it, and being a comic book person and reading in between lines and in between pages and in between panels, we can kind of piece it together ourselves, but it just seems like quick fast. Oh my god, like, you've been back here all of 2 weeks. We just rekindled our relationship. Hey, look, I'm dying. I just found out you're Spider-Man. I need Spider-Man's blood. You didn't bring me Spider-Man. Like, really? In, like, 3 weeks this happened, bro?
Yeah, no shit. But I will say, actually, I forgot to mention this. J. Jonah Jameson was real quick in this flick, but he hasn't missed a beat, that guy.
yeah, for all of not seeing him, really.
Yeah, I know. Still.
Which was actually a disappointment. We actually got... He's working for the planet, but we see none of that. And I can kind of work with that, you know, because it's not really a factor. So, you know, they want to tell other things. Yeah, but it was just interesting, you know.
Well, they need to bring back J.K. Simmons is what they need to do. They need to get him back in his mustache.
And they need him, they need him because you need that Daily Bugle connection. And for one other thing, Jonah needs to be around to rile shit up. While I am not upset about the fact that people like Spider-Man, I'm happy about that. There needs to be equal amounts of people in these movies that like Spider-Man and hate Spider-Man.
That's true, yeah.
Cops included. And there was none of that here.
Not everybody loves Spider-Man. And, you know, yes, there are plenty of people that love him, but there are quite a few out there, too, that fucking despise him. You know, I want to see a little bit of some of that and see him have to deal with stuff like that, of not being the guy that everybody loves and being the big superhero and everything like that. Bring some of that into the movie, and I think that just adds another layer of depth and stuff to it, you know?
Yeah. For every guy that builds a crane bridge for Spidey to swing along, there has to be a J. Jonah.
Hey, look, don't make fun of C. Thomas Howell.
C. Thomas Howell.
Okay, so...
One last thing to add.
Sure, yeah, of course.
Just shooting cinematography-wise, because I'm assuming we've brought this up already, Miss... When you go bye-bye?
I guess it will... Okay, let me just transition to that, and we'll go on that, okay?
Okay.
So, yeah, good and bad off the plate. Let's get to the ending, folks. No beating around the bush. Gwen Stacy is dead. She
dies. Finito.
As Arnold said, it is the next snap worth $16. So... Yeah, it pretty much happens straight out of the comic book, although it's not off a bridge, it's through a tower, and but it happens sort of the same way, only I think there's more of an impact than there would be.
She hits the ground. There was an impact and then
some. He caught her on the bounce.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, she's dead, and there's a little brief period where they showed just months of grieving and stuff, and turns out Dennis Leary's right.
Done. I'm standing there at the cemetery and just seeing that seasons passed. That was well done.
Yeah, that was enjoyable, yeah. But Arnold, you had something you want to say, so I'm going to let you get back to it.
I agree that was really well done. And knowing that again, being comic book fans and we knew that it was going to happen, even knowing it was going to happen, that still hurt. Like, in my theater, like I'm sure in many, and maybe in you guys as well, when that scene happened, there was a collective theater gasp.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a whole theater sucked in air, and then there was silence in the movie theater for like the next 5 minutes.
Dude, I was the only comic book reader who went with a bunch of non-comic book readers. Yeah. So when that all happened, they're all like, I'm like, called it.
But that whole scene in general,
oh, they
completely, completely well done.
Did you notice she was wearing the clothes that she wore in the comic?
Oh, yes. I knew that. That's how I knew it was getting close, because she had the purple skirt on and the boots for a while. And then eventually, later down the road, she got a different jacket. Once the jacket came on, I was like, yep, it's coming down to it.
I was
shocked. I didn't pick up the Spidey thing.
Yeah, I caught that. But just everything from him, you know, diving down through rubble and stuff, again, using that whole Spidey sense thing, and the way that they shot it, even in the slow-mo, and shooting everything from his top of his shoulder down to his arm, seeing the webbing come out in slow motion, fly out, and even having the webbing unravel, look like his hand. You know, looking like his hand trying to reach out to her and get her. Just beautifully, beautifully done. And then for it to end that way, it literally end in a snap.
And
like,
you can see him just like, Gwen. Right. Like, wake up, and it's just like, he breaks, and it is awful. And I was actually really touched by his performance. He did a good job.
Yeah.
So we had a bunch of near misses too, where he kept almost dropping her, and then there's like,
you always thought, oh my god, this is it.
It's like, oh, it's gonna happen. It's like, no. Oh wait, there she goes again. Nope. And like 2-3 pieces, and then it's like, oh, okay, now that happens. But
that was brutal.
So Gwen Stacy is dead, ladies and gentlemen.
I give them 100% kudos for doing it, because most people would say they would and then back out some way or just find a way to write her off. But no, they killed this girl. You can ask me every time a trailer came out, I'm like, you better do it. You better kill this girl.
And you know what's funny? One of my coworkers at work, I had to laugh on the inside because I couldn't do it to the guy's face. But this was the first superhero movie he took his son to see.
Oh, wow.
Neither of them comic fans, so you know they went there and apparently they mostly enjoyed it until they got to this point, and Gwen Stacy dies, which bummed out him and bummed out the kid, because he's like, "What happened? This didn't end all nice and smiley." I'm like, "Hey, right.
Well, they kind of did. There's a nice little rallying scene at the end, which we talked about.
Yeah, but you know, she's still dead.
Yeah,
and, you know, death because death.
The girl didn't save the girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Any casual Spider-Man fan worth their salt knows about Gwen Stacy, I would think. She's up there with Uncle Ben in terms of pivotal death.
But neither were. And it actually ruined the movie for them that Gwen Stacy died.
Well, that's a bummer that had to happen.
But I think that's actually why a lot of people don't like this movie. Because, you know, it's not doing like the last one did. The last one had some legs. This one's dying. And I'm kind of surprised by that, because it's really a better movie than the last one. I like this a lot more than I liked the last one.
I agree.
And I mean, aside from this, I don't get it. So I think it's her death.
I think it's just because for us comic book fans, there's a payoff that we know is coming, and it's grim payoff, granted, but it's still there. You know, it is one of the major points
we've all been asking to see for a while.
Yeah.
As gruesome and as dark as it sounds, we wanted to see Gwen Stacy die.
We didn't see it in the first Spidey trilogy, although we saw a variation of it with Kirsten Dunst in a boat full of kids, and we didn't see it in the first movie we didn't see it in Spider-Man 3 with Gwen Stacy. We didn't see it in Amazing Spider-Man with other Gwen Stacy, who turned out to be a lot better than Bryce Dallas Howard, God bless her. But, yeah, this happened, and it's kind of like one of the most iconic Spidey scenes has been put to film now, and it's as heartbreaking, I think, as the comic book.
Oh, yeah.
And it's costing the movie.
Yeah, that too. Well, you know, they paid the price for artistic vision, but all in all, what did we think of the film? Well, I think we're generally positive, yeah? We all really like it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, cool. I definitely recommend it. Would have been worth full price if I'd have paid it.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't see it in 3D. I forgot.
Oh, 3D. Hell no. This was not worth 3D.
I did because, you know, that's – I think at Fresh Metals, that's probably the only option. Really? I'm pretty sure. Whatever. It all gets me points.
Yeah.
I hit it.
You've surpassed Ben in terms of Spidey fanboyism, so congratulations, Arnold. You'll receive your commemorative plaque in 4 to 6 weeks.
I'm still shocked that he didn't see this movie. I really am. Yeah.
I'm sure he'll see it at some point, but until then, he's lost all Ben Reilly bitching privileges. So let's keep on him about that, gentlemen. And there wasn't a post-credit scene either. None of that.
It kind of was.
Well, yeah, it was for...
X-Men. The stuff with the suits.
Oh, you mean like the stuff in the credits and shit?
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
That's true. You want to talk about that for a quick second? Because I know we saw some people we haven't seen yet.
It was really quick. I think there was what? The tentacles, the...
Yeah. The vulture wings. There was Kraven's spear.
Whatever. Yeah, so. That and the gas things that he has in the lion lapels.
Yeah,
Those things are, which I thought was kind of
Mysterio too.
Really?
I think we got Mysterio. I can't remember.
There was a toss up as to whether that all white mask was Mysterio or Chameleon.
Yeah, I don't know if it's one or the other, but regardless, we got some villains.
But was Mysterio part of the Sinister Six though? I don't think he was.
In a iteration of it,
not the original though.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough.
At least not to my knowledge. I don't think he was. I mean, Chameleon showed up in the very early Spider-Man comics. I now know that.
Yeah, because I think to that original team, and I always come up like one short, but...
Always. It's like trying to name all the dwarves. You always
I'm trying to think. Millionaire?
I still maintain the man in the trench coat is Mysterio, so we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah.
That would be nice. I can honestly say that would be a nice bit of twist. Yeah, well, sort of explain certain things.
I mean, we have to find out who he is at some point, right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
unless they brought him in two movies, so they want us to know who he is.
Yeah, he's kind of like, he's the behind the scenes guy. He's behind the power of, the Oscorp and Harry and stuff. And so, we'll see how he pans out.
Also, something that somebody else brought up. We didn't see Osborn's body.
That's why I'm saying I think the guy in the coat is Osborn.
We didn't see that scene. We see Osborn talk to a guy in a coat.
That's true.
So we know that at least there was two separate guys at one point. Now The one that we saw at the end in this one, that could have been Osborn. I'll give you. No, it can't be because remember, that scene that got cut out. Remember the one that you showed me when we was at your house looking at what's his name's tablet?
Maybe,
remember
I think the so.
The head in the jar?
Yes. Right.
Wait. What?
There's a scene that got cut out apparently.
Inform the Bostonian. What's happening here?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Arnold, you tell it.
Apparently when this dude in the trench go Pierce, I think they said Mr. Pierce when he walked through the door. Or Fierce. Pierce or Fierce, one of the two.
Okay.
That whole room with the
yeah, with the arms and the vulture wings.
There was apparently what supposedly is a cutscene, and if you zoom in on it in a jar, is Norman Osborn's head just sitting.
Holy!
And it actually does look like Chris what's Cooper? His name that played. Yeah, it actually looks it does look like Chris Cooper.
Well, you know? Shit. That's
so.
Wow. Okay. So. Yeah. I guess we'll wrap up on that cheery note. That's fun.
Head in the jar. He's Robot Man. There you go. Yeah, brain in the jar.
Oh Jesus. That's a distinguished competition, sir. Wrong company.
What's Simon? Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Okay. So like I said, generally positive all around. We really enjoyed it. We'll be looking forward for the
third highly one recommend it. I would highly recommend it. I would go see it again. I would buy it on DVD.
Yeah. Definitely a theater viewing, if not worth the 3D. Definitely check it out in theaters for nothing else.
4.5 Warriors out of 5, definitely.
I would co-sign that, absolutely. And so, yeah, check it out in theaters, Ben. And we'll end this review here. And we will see you on our next Special Edition podcast when Future Past comes out, correct? That'll be the next one?
Which I got to remember to go buy tickets to.
Yeah, that's coming out next week, I think, right? Or this week?
This week.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Depending on when Ben gets this up, it may be last week. Who knows? So we'll see what happens. But yeah. So for the Amazing Spider-Man 2 Special Edition Podcast.
Sweetness.
We have been the Mighty Warriors 3, and we'll see you next time.